Couple of quick plugs before we start today's show. If you want to follow us on Twitter, our handle is @NarbosPodcast. If you want to email us, our email address is narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com. Hit us up with your comments on future episodes of Degrassi Junior High and Degrassi High. And if you want to be on a future episode, let us know as well, and we'll try to set something up. You can also follow our show on all of the podcast platforms, including iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. So please give us a follow and subscribe on any of those sites, and you will be able to get us pushed to you every single week. The theme music for this show is brought to you by a band called Ew, You're a Girl and Girls Suck. They are a punk band from here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And their Bandcamp page is iagags.bandcamp.com. That's iagags.bandcamp.com. They used to watch Degrassi episodes when they took breaks from recording back in the 90s. Anyways, that's about it for the plugs. Let's get to this week's episode. Finale time here on Narbos and Broomheads, the amazing season that was season 6 of Degrassi that I believe almost broke us. I mean, we're not done yet, but we're going to try to finish this one off tonight, everybody. I mean, I don't drink alcohol, but I'm assuming like a bad drink, you know, that last gulp of grossness.
Monkey piss at the bottom of the bottle.
Yes, that's what we're...
That's mostly filled with backwash. Yeah.
This episode, Monkey Piss Part 2, everybody. We're looking forward to talking about it. Just kidding. It's called Don't You Want Me Part 2. I'll be hosting tonight. I'm Alan. And yeah, I'm happy to lead through this one and get this season done with. But I've got some friends with me to talk about stripping and hooking up with exes and... whatever the hell the other plot was that I've forgotten, we'll get into it. But anyways, let's go to Regina. Arlo, you're sleepy.
I am sleepy, but I'm trying to rally and get it together. I think I only got about 5 hours sleep last night, so I am dragging a little bit, but I will try to keep my my sharp wit at the ready today. I don't know how successful that's going to be. But hi, everybody. I'm Arlo. I'm coming to you from Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And looking forward to getting really angry at this one.
Stacy, you're here.
I am here. And a miracle occurred today.
Uh-huh.
I went to the DMV, and it only took me 20 minutes to get a new ID.
Oh, nice. Boo-boo-boo-boo-boo.
So, yeah, happy early Christmas to me. It was a magnificent morning for me. So, and then I had to watch this episode, and then the day was ruined.
Well, you had a good week in, I guess you're happy with this New York Yankees trade for that guy, a good baseball player, apparently.
Oh, that good baseball player, Juan Soto. Yes, I'm very happy. And we had one of our best shows today. We're up to almost 10,000 views because we interviewed one of the Yankee broadcasters. So,
all right.
And we passed 5,000 subscribers today on YouTube. So I'm very excited.
Nice. Yeah. Courtney maybe was going to join but could not because, one...
She's waiting for Shohei Ohtani to show up in Toronto.
She's hitting refresh on TSN.com and BlueJays.com. where they are literally tracking, like, the flights that are...
They're tracking private planes. There was 12,000 people tracking a private plane from Southern California to Toronto.
Yeah. So it's December 8th, 2023, everyone, just in case you want to put this in perspective. There's a rumor that Ohtani's going to sign with the Blue Jays, but you know, he'll sign with the Dodgers, everybody. just going to put it out there right now. But anyway, so everyone in Toronto's waiting on pins and needles. All I can say is if he does sign, I'm glad that I've already purchased games, I think tickets to 6 or 7 games for $10 a piece.
Very nice.
We're not going to be paying $10 a ticket if he's signed here. So,
nope.
Well, and I can say with confidence that all of this is news to me.
And Courtney also broke her nose.
I had no idea that was happening.
Courtney also went to Vegas and broke her nose, everybody. But apparently after an ordeal through Ontario Healthcare. Healthcare is free in Ontario, everybody, but you just have to wait like 24 hours to get your nose reset at the hospital. So, so she's recovering now. So anyways, we have, though, a more than capable fill-in for Courtney making her return since, I think, back in the My So-Called Life days. Heather! No.
Before then.
Was it?
The Christmas episode.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, the New Kids on the Block.
Yes.
Wow. So almost a whole year then.
Yeah, not, you know.
Over a
I'm
year.
Happy to come back a year later.
Uh-huh.
Well, we're happy to have you back, of course.
Heather, how's your year been? I mean, I can see plenty on Instagram, but how has the year been for you?
It's been good. I've seen a couple good concerts. I saw Smashing Pumpkins over the summer and traveled out to California to see my family. And now we're back in school with the kiddo and keeping busy, just doing the Christmas stuff. We're here in Virginia, so I'm just hoping for a little bit of winter, maybe a little bit of snow come January, because last year was pretty much just a light dusting of snow. And coming from the San Francisco Bay Area, I want more than just a dusting. I want to play in the snow for at least a day or two.
Well, we've evened the tables on this podcast. Two Americans, two Canadians.
Nice.
I guess Barry is sequestered right now.
Barry's doing jury duty, everybody.
Yeah, he got called for jury duty and he's actually sequestered.
Yes. Like held against his will.
Yeah, the case of the Newfoundland Strangler, everybody. Look it up in the news. It's a big trial here in Canada. It's like our OJ, and Barry is on the jury. And if you believe me, shame on you. So
I just imagine him being like Pauly Shore, like on jury duty.
That's all jury duty is, fun antics.
Yep.
Where did Ted go? Ted went to South America, everybody.
He went to South America, yeah. But tonight he's back, but tonight he's at some kind of work function or something for the holidays or whatnot, so that's why he's not here.
So they've all had adventures. Before this episode, me and Sarah hung up a wall mount for our television, and now I'm getting divorced. Actually, it went shockingly well. So no, not getting divorced, everybody, but they say it's really easy when you buy them, everyone, but not so much. We did put it up, and then we hung, and like with relative ease, and then we hung the TV up, and then we sat down, and we were like, yep, that's way too high, so.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, you know, at least it didn't come crashing down, and at least you did it right.
Yeah. So we did it twice, everybody, so hooray.
And
if anyone's just coming in on that phrase right there, he meant hanging up a TV on the wall.
Yes. all right, so should we get into this episode?
Yes,
we're all dying to talk about Don't You Want Me?
Yeah, we're definitely dying.
Don't You Want Me, Part 2, aired in Canada on May 14th, 2007, in the United States, August 13th, 2007. This is the 19th and final episode of Season 6 of Degrassi and the Next Generation, written by Brendan York, who did not write the previous episode, Part 1 of this episode. And
of course not.
Yeah, and directed by Phil Earnshaw. And in our last episode, when we left off, Alex was progressively having bigger and bigger money issues with her and her mom at home, and every time an issue got worse, Alex would get more and more into her work at Zanzibar, which is a real strip club in Toronto. So in the very last scene, she steps out onto the stage to actually take her clothes off, and her soul is going to leave her body, and her life is ruined, and she is forever going to be a hoe, is what Degrassi has told us. Did I get that right?
Yes, that's basically it. She's disgusting, she's dirty, and she's soulless now because she's stripped.
Okay. Yes. And then in the B plot, Emma is faking, well, no, she's not really faking a pregnancy. Like, it's weird. At the time, I was like, you're faking it, but as we go through Part 2,
it becomes apparent that she still thinks she's pregnant. So I'll give her that teeny little morsel of credit.
Do we think that she thinks she's pregnant, or do you think that she hopes she's pregnant so Sean will stay?
Both.
I think it's kind of,
you know what
both.
I mean? Like, I think it's like, even though it will spin up her life, it will still, she's hoping.
Yeah, I think that's, she's kind of trying to trap him with a baby that doesn't exist to try and keep him home. Yeah.
This is one reason I have a really hard time with that particular storyline. Like,
it's so annoying.
There's no, I don't understand it. There's no payoff. Like, I don't understand. Like, they don't delve into why Emma's doing this, really. You know, you're kind of just left to draw your own conclusions on it. And I, like, the fact that this is the B plot.
Yeah, they spent a lot of time on Paige and Alex. Like, they really dominated that episode to where the B plot had, like, three or four scenes, and then they were the rest.
Yeah. But Emma's just selfish as it is. So, I mean, it's...
Right, this made it fit first.
Mm-hmm. Very self-serving.
Well, if that wasn't upsetting enough everybody, they decided to then sprinkle in just a little bit of Ellie and Jesse as well. So,
oh, God.
They're like, how do
it's
we...
Basically, they were like, oh, you sat through this whole season and you didn't like it. Here we go. We're going to put everything you didn't like about this season into one episode. The one thing they spared us was fucking Peter. That was basically it.
I like how they took, like, our open wounds from the first couple of plots and then just took a little bit of salt and...
scrubbed him in.
Yeah, it's great. All right, well, let's dive into it. Don't You Want Me Part 2? So... at the very end of the last episode, Alex is walking out on stage at Zanzibar to strip, and now, at the start of this episode, her dance has finished, and she comes off stage, and she says it's the most terrifying experience of her life, and she may throw up. And I mean, you look, it's your first time, I guess that tracks. I don't know, I mean, I haven't had a first time doing that, but I would imagine. And Mel, who is waiting for her, Mel is Jay's girlfriend for what, this episode and the last one and probably no others,
right?
Yeah, conveniently dating him to get Alex into the strip club working. So Mel, who does not strip but works in the cocktail lounge part of the bar, tells Alex that Paige called while she was up on stage, and Alex tells Mel that she is basically sworn to secrecy. Don't tell Paige I'm dirty. So Paige actually comes over to Alex's apartment later with a falafel, and she tells Alex that she really cares about her and she wants to get over her fears. Her fears, by the way, of coming out to her parents. And, and she asks Alex basically to go study, I guess. And
to be her sweetheart.
Yeah. Yes. Ugh. Ugh. Yep. And so now they're together. So there you go, I guess.
That's such a Paige thing to say.
Go ahead.
If I was wondering if maybe they chose that choice of words because later on the creepy guy calls her sweetheart in the club.
Oh. Maybe, yeah.
And
yeah.
I think maybe the writers thought they were being clever in some way, but I can't.
Brendan York, you're being clever.
Also, let's not refer to him as creepy guy in the club. He has a name. His name is Alan. So, just saying.
Different spelling, for sure, because there's like 10 different ways to spell Alan, but...
Uh-huh.
Also, can we note how awkward their kiss was?
Oh my God, thank you for saying that, because...
Like, I wasn't sure if there was like trepidation coming from Paige, but even like with the trepidation, like it was just very like mechanical rather than kind of passion or interest.
Yeah, Lauren Collins made like an odd face, like... as she was about to pull away, and then when she pulled away, she was smiling, and it looked like she was happy, but during the kiss, I'm glad you noticed that, too, because I was like, ugh, that's...
It was like dead in the eyes a little, I don't know.
yeah, it's, I don't know.
I mean, maybe because Alex is now soulless, she sucked some of Paige's soul out of her when they kissed.
Oh, you know what?
You spit out my drink, that was funny.
Yeah.
That's it, you got it.
Yeah. All right, so we get the show open, of course, and then we're back in Alex's apartment, and her mom arrives home with cookies from her job, and I guess she's worked overnight.
Oh, I can tell you the company name.
Oh, yes.
Because I wanted to know. I think it is called Cooksville Cookie Company.
Okay.
And I was like, well, is that a real name? And then, of course, me being the American, looked up the town Cooksville, and it is close to where they're at. So.
All right.
It's possible. Her mom makes really crappy cookies at Cooksville Cookie Factory.
Alex has been studying in the kitchen, and Alex then pulls out a giant wad of cash. So she's like, will this help? And she still is talking about how this is a bistro job that she's getting these massive tips from.
What a bistro.
The bistro, right? That's, remember that? That's where Caitlin's dad takes women he wants to bang other than his wife.
Women he is banging, yes.
Yes, yes. So they put it towards the rent fund, and her mom is like, Alex, you're the one thing that turned out right. My little ATM. So... And Alex says,
and we're supposed to be thinking in our heads, no, she's dirty, she's a whore.
No, she's wonderful.
She didn't turn out right at all.
Yes, she says, don't be so sure, Mom. Yes, because she's a dirty, filthy, disgusting stripper, probably with herpes. So
she got herpes from the pole.
Yeah.
Just from dancing on the pole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like how her mom just sits there and pats the cash like a little baby at the end of that scene.
Is she one of the worst parents on Degrassi? Like, she's really one of the worst parents
in
the history of that show. Yeah, she's definitely in the top five. I would say Jane's dad is the worst. We'll get to that in a couple of seasons. But I think she's definitely in the top five.
She's like, you're my other child, pile of money.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Like, doesn't give Alex any physical affection, but is like stroking the money. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
She's just
there, dollar bill, y'all. Yeah.
So Alex leaves to write her exam. So now we're at, they showed the outside shot of Degrassi, and I'm like, oh, yeah, there's a school in this TV series called Degrassi.
It's not just Zanzibar. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Like, so little time ever since we got to the, you know, the last, like, the home stretch of the season starting with Paige and Banting. There's been so little Degrassi in this. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's Zanzagrassi.
So at Degrassi, Alex is dozing off during her exam because, again, she's a dirty stripper and can't stay awake. We're at the dot. Jay is there with Sean, and Sean is moping about the fact that he thinks Emma is pregnant, and he says everything's about to change. And Jay says, it's about time you got some fresh gitch, and I loved it.
What the fuck is gitch?
Underwear.
I was going to bring up that gitch is a very, I believe it's specific to Canada, so.
Yeah, I don't know that.
We don't know that, yeah.
Yeah, gitch is underwear.
I know we've actually had, I think, once upon a time in the podcast, the gitch discussion, but
I think so too.
There's variations of the term. There's also gotch. So, but yes, he said fresh gitch and I loved it.
Okay, I'm glad it was underwear because I was afraid he was referring to the lady parts and I was
private.
Like,
oh. I was thinking,
yeah, like that's what I thought he was referencing. And I was just like, fucking Jay, man. Like, he's just, ugh.
I did. They've got Sean sitting at the counter of the dot drinking what is clearly an empty to-go cup, and it's like, well, why don't you just have a mug? Why didn't they just give him a mug of coffee?
Nope,
he's sitting down, he didn't need it to go,
please. And then the whole Jay's like, ooh, you know, you're set for life. It's like, your brains aren't fully developed yet. Like, why are you talking about being fully, like, set for life and having babies, and Emma's 17, he's 18. Like, Jay, shut the fuck up.
And
that's in my notes, really.
Nobody would say that at that age. You know?
No one.
Like, this is what you want. You're already made family. Life at a garage. Like, it's not
really... I mean, to be fair, Jay is what, like, 29 at this point?
That's true. Jay already has 3 kids, but...
Yeah. I mean, Jay, but I feel like this is not a thing that, like, so Jay, the devil incarnate of the episode, always showing up when people want to get in trouble, encouraging blowjobs in vans, and getting people into strip clubs, and getting people involved with drugs, but also is like...
Oh, telling them to get away from hit and runs.
Yeah, yeah, have a family. That sounds so good. Like, I'm so happy for you, pal. That's the life I want. Come on, Jay.
Ugh.
Yeah. Can you imagine the prospect of being chained to Emma for life?
well, someone does.
That sounds awful.
So Sean is not convinced about this plan. So now we are at, again, the bar. And in this scene, it's kind of nightclub-ish, but they're also having nachos. So
can I ask a question before that? That transition that goes from the dot to it almost looks like a water feature outside a corporate business office.
Oh, yeah. That's in somewhere in Toronto. Yeah.
Like, I'm just sitting there going, like, that does not look anything like downtown nightlife that I would have thought would have been cool to put on a TV show.
They also showed it during when Craig was back in what it feels like to be a ghost. They showed that same transition before going to the club when he was going to be playing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
For some reason, I assume it's the university bar.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that exterior shot's supposed to show the university. I'm not sure.
It literally looks like a corporate, like, industrial park or whatever.
The location.
I love that as an American, Marco, when he goes to get the food, he tips probably a loonie or something. But to an American, I'm like, dang, he's cheap. He's tipping a quarter.
A loony for a plate of nachos isn't a very good tip either. So
Yeah.
Actually, you know, seeing as we're talking about loonies and toonies, also, and we've got strip clubs in this episode as well. So at Zanzibar in Canada, when Alex is up there dancing, no one is going to give her 20s, right? They're going to give her, well, in the States, it would be ones, which is the only reason why I'm assuming America has kept paper $1 bills is for...
is for the strip clubs, the yes. Reason. That's the only reason. Vending machines, maybe. If you don't have a card, you can, you know, put the dollar bills in. But other than that, yeah, it's pretty much just for the stripping industry.
My favorite thing is when people will sometimes be, you'll be at a store and they're like, I don't have a 10 to give you change, can I give you a bunch of ones? And I'm like, dang it, now next time I go to a store, I'm gonna be like, hi, I have all my ones for my stripping job. Like,
yeah.
Oh yeah, I had that happen once, although this was like 15 years ago and I was living in Manhattan, but I had a bunch of ones and I was like, it was a busy shift last night. The guy looked at me with his eyes. I'm like, I'm kidding, it's a joke.
In Canada, the strippers have to find more creative ways because people are literally like flipping coins onto the stage.
Oh my God.
I know exactly where Alan's going with this.
Oh, well, no.
Probably better if you want to tell it, Arlo. You can, if you'd like. Or would you like?
No, go ahead.
Well,
by all means.
One of the games that we've seen before is that the stripper will sit up against the pole, facing the audience, and will use a coin to create a target in a very interesting location. And then if you flip your coin and knock the and hit the target, you can get like signed merchandise or, you know, whatever.
Have these people pelting these like heavy coins at this person's genitals, basically, which is awful.
And everybody's sitting around. It's like watching somebody play a game at an amusement park, except that it's a stripper and a real person. And it's, yeah.
I'm glad this isn't a video podcast because I've had my mouth agape for the past 25 seconds.
I'm just envisioning it. That's the worst part. I'm like,
yes. I'm like, what?
It's exactly what you're envisioning. So, yep. So,
well, and we're not talking about, I mean, pennies would hurt too, but we're talking about pretty heavy coins, like loonies and toonies, right?
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Those poor girls.
Yes, those poor girls.
And plus their soul is leaving them at the same time, and they're dirty, and they're thinking about how horrible they are. So, yeah.
They just throw up.
Yeah.
You know.
Bury that.
But so, yes, back to nachos.
Yeah, Marco and Ellie having their nachos that they tipped a buck for. And apparently, I don't know if it's Ellie or Marco or both of them, but Marco talks about that they're supposed to be having fun because they're boy hunting.
Yes.
And then stupid fucking Jesse just walks up and hovers behind them.
But why is Ellie stacking cups? Is she five?
Well, I didn't know that. I didn't even realize that. I mean, she's got neuroses, right? So maybe that's it. But
there's the giant plate of nachos, which I turned into Homer Simpson for a second. I was like, nachos. And I was like, no, nachos. And then I was like, what? She's stacking empty, like, plastic cups off to the side of the nachos.
She's just cleaning up because, you know, it's Ellie.
Yeah, it is.
I could see that part.
Sure.
Yeah, so Jesse decides to approach, and even though, again, like, Ellie doesn't dance, Jesse, remember? That's the big problem. She doesn't dance, so...
That's part of the reason why you broke up, guys.
Come on. So anyways, they kind of, Ellie and Jesse take a look at each other, and he says, "You look great." And that's kind of the end of the scene. So we don't get anything else with them until the punchline later, everyone. So,
yeah. Well, and you know, of course they haven't seen each other around the newspaper office or anything.
Yeah.
Right.
This
like,
entire
they,
time.
Like they didn't see each other 3 hours earlier.
Yeah. So we cut over to Jay and Mel and Alex and Paige, who are in the same bar hanging out at another table. And Paige gives Alex a gift, which is a scarf?
No. It looks like either is it the sexy dress that she wears towards the end, or is it lingerie? I couldn't tell.
I assumed it was like a teddy, like lingerie. But you can't really see what it is.
Yeah, I know at the end she wears a red dress that kind of has like a halter top, so I couldn't tell if that was what Paige gave her and she wore it to the dance at the end, or if it was like lingerie.
Okay. Well, I guess it wouldn't be a scarf because Mel says it's sexy and perfect for work. So
yeah.
No, if you're wearing nothing but a scarf at a strip club, that might be a wintry sexy thing.
That's a thing in Canada, maybe.
Oh, so if it's perfect for work, then it's probably that red dress.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I would think.
But here's why I think it's lingerie and not the red dress that she wore at the end mm-hmm. is because she's, like, as far as Paige knows, she's a waitress at that bar, right? Mm-hmm. So if it was just a nice dress and somebody said, "Oh, it's perfect for work," then you'd be like, "Yeah, you can wear it to your waitressing job." Right. Mm. So the fact that, you know, it was all very like, "Shut the fuck up."
Yeah.
True.
Tells me that it's some kind it's of skimpier. Sexy lingerie.
Yeah.
Which,
that makes sense.
It's a little sheer at the top area. That's why I couldn't tell.
But, I mean, one of the reasons it's hard to tell is because Paige and Alex's relationship is really very chaste.
You know? Yes.
Yeah.
You know, they've had some pecks on the lips and whatnot, but there's never been any indication that they are ever sexual with each other. So it's kind of like, for Paige just to hand her like a negligee at a bar is kind of strange.
Yeah, like Alex only knows she's a lesbian because she's done it with other girls, not Paige.
Yeah.
Yeah. Paige says the thought of Alex in a parka at the strip club gives her an emotional boil.
Ugh.
And Alex
Who
says...
Who talks like that?
Well,
Paige.
Throughout...
There's so many times in this episode where I'm like, bovine and you know, emotional boil.
The bovine excrement. Wait, what'd she say? Bovine excrement or whatever
excrement,
the hell it was.
Meaning, yeah. I think, bullshit. Is yeah. What she means, but still... Yeah.
That's Brendan York's fault.
Yeah.
That is totally. Also, the other question I have is, why does Paige feel the need to give a gift for every dang thing that happens in her life? Like, it's like, oh, it's her last day of work. Here, we'll give her flowers. And we're giving her a this and a that. Like, every time you see Paige around Alex, it's some sort of gift constantly.
Yeah, and it's, well, I guess maybe it's
her
kind
love
of,
language.
Yeah, and it's also, maybe it's the show's way of showing that, you know, Alex is struggling for money and she's stripping, and Paige is, like, spending money without even really working to give her gifts.
Uh-huh. And she's inserting herself into people's lives constantly by that, too.
Yeah.
So Alex says she's going to quit and get a new job. Paige is thrilled with this news. And just as she says she's thrilled, some really shitty ska music plays and Paige goes to dance with Marco. So then Alex admits to Jay and Mel that she lied about quitting. And Jay's like, a big fat lie is a solid foundation for a relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, thanks, Jay.
It's true.
Alex says it's complicated, and if Paige finds out that she's a dancer, it will be all over. And Jay says, well, when a hot girl shakes her naked tatas for a living, word gets around.
Thanks, Jay.
Well, I mean, you know, Jay's very experienced, like, with the whole, you know, you shouldn't have a relationship based on a lie kind of thing, because, again, he's, like, 30, and he has a lot of life experience. Uh-huh.
Gotta love the word tatas too. It's a good.
Oh my god!
I love all the it's like I said, the bovine excrement and the tatas. It's like, well, if we say it this way, can we get away with it?
Yeah,
right.
Can't say bullshit. Can't say tits. You know what can't we say?
Can't say panties. Yeah. I guess. So you say
what
gits?
Can you sneak past the
sensors? So now we're back at Degrassi, and Miss Hatzilakis stops Alex in the hall. And says teachers are talking about how she's made a turnaround that year, which I guess, like, I hope that it's a situation where Miss Hatzilakis is, you know, sitting down with teachers and saying, like, tell me about how some people are doing, as opposed to, you know, that fucking loser Alex that sucked ass for many years. Holy shit, she's turned things around. So
I was a horrible student in high school. I failed multiple subjects. I literally barely graduated. No one gave a shit about me. I never even saw the principal. So is it like this up there, or is this just a thing they write for the show? Because no high school principal would be in this many students' business ever.
It wasn't that way in the United States, no.
Yeah. I mean, I think I saw my principal four times in the 4 years that I went there, and yeah, one of them was graduation.
I think nowadays it's different because everything's a little bit more staying connected with the kids and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, not as much.
I do wonder if maybe, you know, Miss Hatzilakis is more invested in Alex, because Alex probably, when she was, like, hanging out with the J crowd, had, like, a lot of, like, disciplinary problems.
Mm.
So, like, when Alex wanted to come back for an extra year, she might have had to sort of get special permission to do that. And
it would have been
so
nice if we saw that instead of them just being like, oh, Alex is in school and let's barely explain it. Okay, cool.
No, fill in the blanks, everybody. Fill in the blanks.
That happened with, like, the guidance counselors from my high school usually reached out to the I wouldn't say at-risk kids, but the kids that needed those touchstones.
Oh yeah, same with me. I was always in touch with the guidance counselors, never a principal or anyone like that.
It's not a Canadian American thing, I don't think. My principal in high school probably couldn't have picked me out of a lineup.
Right.
If somebody was like, which one of these kids is your student, right, in your school, right? But I mean, I think it's the teachers were, you know,
much more in touch.
Had tabs on us and stuff. But yeah, I mean, that's not the role of the principal, right? Like, I don't know.
Well, Miss Hatzilakis,
they're more the face of the school for the county. And then as the chain goes down, at least from my experience now with my son, the principal is the face. The assistant principal is actually the one that's a little bit more involved with the kids. And then the teachers very much so are involved with the kids.
Miss Hatzilakis should be paying attention to her own fucking son more than this. Like,
you're like, don't worry about Alex. Worry about your perverted son.
Yeah, I'm like, look, Alex should just be like, look, I didn't show someone's tits to the whole school, almost kill somebody in a hit and run, put drugs in someone's locker, send a pedophile to somebody's house, and constantly get pulled over by the cops after my license was taken away. All in a season, everybody. So,
and having secret relationships on the park bench by the dog poop.
Yeah, so fuck off. Miss Hatzilakis mentions that the organic chemistry exam didn't appear to go so well. She tells Alex that she'll write her a reference for university. Alex blows it off. So,
can I ask what organic chem is?
I have friends who took it, but I can't tell you what it is.
Yeah, I know.
I'll
Google
it. Give me a second.
I know it's a thing.
Well, I mean, it's obviously some kind of, it's chemistry, obviously. But, like, what's the difference between organic chemistry and regular chemistry?
It's like it says
it's a subdiscipline within chemistry involving the scientific study of the structure, properties, and reactions of organic compounds and organic materials, such as matter in its various forms.
I would fail that class so badly.
This is a high school course?
Yeah, organic chemistry, I never heard about it until university. And also, as you were reading that description, I was like,
exactly, my brain hurt.
As you were reading that description, I was thinking, I wouldn't last a class. I would, one day, I'd be like, no, you got to take me out of this. I'm not going to be able to pass this.
The
images that pop up with the definition, I mean, they're already beyond me. Very geometric with, like, strands and stuff. So, yes.
My apologies if you're a nerd and you're listening to this show and you love organic chemistry. If you want to explain it to us like we're five-year-olds, narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com. Let us know.
I was a communications major, so there you go.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah.
So that whole scene with Miss Hatzilakis is really just there to establish Alex has been doing well at school, but now that she's a dirty hoe stripper, things are starting to go wrong. That's the only reason we have to see that conversation. Sean approaches them outside of Degrassi, where he should not be allowed, and is not the last time we're going to see him there. And he says, okay, look, if you're pregnant, we can keep the baby, which makes Emma happy. And then he says her parents may kill him. And she says, well, it'll still be better than boot camp. And then Sean's like, oh no, I'm still going.
Yeah, good.
I loved it. He's like, I'll send you money. It'll be better for everybody. I wrote LOL. And yeah, so Emma's not happy about this. She's pissed.
So speaking of a person who has been around a lot of enlisted and, you know, military people, not, I mean, I will say this. I think Sean's plan is actually kind of smart, because I've seen a lot of people who get married just so they can be together and stay together, versus like Sean's like, I'm going to go, I'm going to make a name for myself, I'm going to create a future, and I'll still support your child. So I feel like he's the one with the level head there. And he's not just saying, okay, then we can get married and we can be together and all this stuff. So
right.
And I mean, of many of the characters in this show, Sean is one who could probably really use the army. Like, yeah, you know?
Sure, like, absolutely. Emma's a 17-year-old entitled child, and Sean has been to jail. Like,
uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, there's a... I think they're... The way they think about things is a little different.
Can I also ask, why is everything about this pregnancy with Emma come out so calm? I know she's a child of a parent whose mother was a teen mom, and her mom was also a teen mom. We talked about the generational thing. However, I feel like it's almost like too casual when they talk about it between her and Sean, and also, as we see later on, as the story progresses.
Yeah, it's really the beats in this episode are just so wrong. Like like with the rest of the season.
Really, it's a weird storyline.
It's so weird.
It doesn't track properly. And then, no. You know, later she's talking to Manny and she's like, I didn't know I could be this scared. And it's like, really? Because scared. You haven't been acting in any way. Like,
like that came out of nowhere. Because the whole thing was, oh, I'm pregnant. And we'll do this, we'll do that. Like, she had all these plans in her head. And now she's suddenly scared that she's actually pregnant. And it just, yeah, the whole thing, both part one and part two, you could have done this storyline better.
You didn't.
Or, you know, not done it at all.
Yeah, and you didn't need to have the pregnancy test in the first episode. Like, again, in real life, you'd have the test, right?
Right.
But as a viewer, that just confused things, because number one, after the test came out negative, and then Emma was like, oh, it could still happen. I was like, she's manipulating him, which now we're seeing she's not. So, and now they're carrying on. Like, Sean is fucking buying into it. And it's like, why did we even bother with this in the first episode? Because I, as a smart viewer, are like, you're probably not pregnant. Like, I get that there are false negatives, but the odds are you're probably not pregnant. We've just established this.
Yeah. So you just, well, you and just if you're a second test.
Yeah, like the drama is gone.
Trust a test. Go to the doctor and find out.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Like your mom did.
Yes.
With you.
Yes. So we're now at the club. Vlad the Stereotype. owner of the Zanzibar approaches Alex,
a long lost cousin of Vlad the Impaler.
Ask why she's drinking alone, and then she introduces her to Alan, and I'm like, this guy can't be a bad guy. Like, great name. Alan is one of the best clients. I'm like, of course he is, and I can buy it. And then Alan asks Alex if Lextasy is a French name. And I'm like, okay, Alan, don't embarrass me.
It's the way he said it to you. He's like, Lextasy, is it French?
And
yes, it's pronounced Lextasy.
Yeah, I needed another shower after that.
Alex says that she doesn't think she can strip anymore. But Vlad is like, well, clients really like you. And you can get weekend shifts and make a lot more money. And Alex is like, what's the catch? And Vlad's like, just be sexy.
Just be sexy.
Okay, so now I have a question. So Alex, so far, in terms of her work as a stripper, is only going on stage and taking her clothes off. That's right. No lap dances, no private dances, no nothing.
As far as we know, there's no private dancing happening.
Yeah.
I would imagine that there isn't, because if there was, we'd have to go through another storyline of like, oh, I now have to do this part too, right? Like we've already gone through the drama of her jumping off the ledge of going up on stage and dancing. So I'm like, where's the money? Like, again, loonies thrown at your crotch is something, but I believe the real money is in the private dances.
I would think the champagne room for sure.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So
are you, is Ontario, are you allowed to go full nude?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, I think so. I don't know. It's, yeah.
In like in Puritan Saskatchewan, you have to keep your bottoms on.
Yeah. No, in Ontario, I believe. In fact, I mean, as of the last time I remember being at a strip club was actually in Toronto, but I was not living here. It was probably 2007, 2008, so like 15 years ago. But I do distinctly remember that the stripper's big trick was to light a part of her body on fire. So,
wow. Okay.
Yes.
What?
Yep.
Oy.
Yeah. So anyways.
And it all depends on the type of strip club. You can start with the juice bars that are like only just topless. And then as you downgrade and more alcohol is involved, that's when it gets a bit rougher anyway. So,
yeah. Cause I think when I went to Scores a couple times, and I think they kept their bottoms on outside, but I don't know what happened in the back room.
Yeah.
I know that one of my coworker's friends went in the back room and he was there for a while, but I don't know what they were doing and I have no idea what was going on. But out in the main room, they kept their bottoms on. They were just topless.
I know in San Francisco, it was juice bar only tops. And then as you went down, it got worse and worse and worse. And then my husband went there for his bachelor party. And in the end of the night, the last bar they went to was the worst one. And they practically beat him up. So,
okay. Oh, God.
They brought him up on stage. And this lady climbed up the pole and like slid down and like slammed on him. And he ended up with like handprint slaps on his chest.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. They were definitely like man haters by the last one. But of course, I giggled because, you know, mm-hmm. I had a hangover to match, so it worked out.
Alex gets called to the stage right at that, and right at that moment, Paige comes into the place with flowers. So again, yes, she's given her the dress. Now she's like, more gifts for your last night. And she sees Mel and asks where Alex is. And she's like, and like a total bitch. Like, Mel works there, right? And Paige is saying to her, like, yeah, I want to wish her a happy last night in the cesspool. And Mel kind of just smirks because she knows what's going to happen and is like, you know, you should go. Like, but
you
I'm sure
probably go.
But I'm sure Mel in her head is like, bitch, stay. Like, I'm very excited about what's about
to
happen.
I would be feeling that way.
Yeah. So just then we see Alex headed to the stage to dance, and Paige sees it and realizes that Alex is a dirty, disgusting stripper that has so many STDs and it's disgusting and gross, and we cut to commercial, and we're all grossed out.
Paige is just so, like, holier than thou, and it just irritates the heck out of me.
Yeah. Paige is waiting for Alex when she comes off the stage, and, of course, Paige is upset that she saw Alex stripping and also has to add, devoid of clothing.
Yeah, I said that, too. I'm like, isn't that what stripping is?
Yeah. You stripped, you know,
usually.
Where you take your clothes off, that kind. So she asks how bad things are that Alex has to do this. And again, Arlo, as you've said, it doesn't have to be bad. You can just do it for money.
You could just do it for money. You could do it for fun, even.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to be part of a burlesque group. Like, it was a hobby. We did that kind of, I mean, we didn't do,
Arlo.
Like, it's a different type of exotic dance. No,
Arlo, we're friends. We've been friends for a long time. How bad
and
was
this whole time, you didn't know I was soulless.
How bad was it? Why didn't you turn to me, your friend, instead of doing that? Come on now. So they're obviously having a bit of a kerfuffle. So Vlad steps in, tells Paige that if she wants a job, auditions are on Thursdays. Paige,
I love it.
Yeah, Paige, like a bitch, throws her flowers at Alex and storms out. Like, fuck, you know? And, like, also, she started off their fight with the conversation, how bad is it that you have to do this? So in her head, she's like, fuck, like, you must be screwed. But then is also just like, you're useless to me. You stripper, you whore. So
it's almost like it's abusive. Like it's only if Alex fits into her perception of what is okay.
Ugh. Right.
Yeah, one thing that I do find a little interesting about this is just the dynamic that Degrassi has chosen for dealing with this, in that Paige is a woman. I think if it was like a jealous boyfriend sort of storming into a club and not believing that his girlfriend could be a stripper, I think that would be almost expected in our society. So the fact that it's a female who's going into this jealous rage or whatever, I think is kind of interesting.
I believe that I told the story on this podcast before, but I'll do it again. I have a friend he was dating somebody, and when they started dating, she was not a stripper. And then she decided to get a job as a stripper, and he was not happy with it. But also because she was cheating all the time. So there was that, also that.
Oh, well, all right. Yeah. That's a problem.
Yeah.
And I was tempted to do it in my 20s because I wanted extra money. I was in pretty good shape. I had dance training from when I was a kid, and I had pretty good rhythm. And I was like, and I went to Scores with my coworkers, and I was looking at it. I'm like, these girls look like they're having a fun time. Maybe I could do this. And then I chickened out and never did it.
Well, we had I went down to visit my friend. He lives in the States, and it was before WrestleMania 29. So a group of us went out the night before and then came back to his place, and I was staying over there, and I was just going to sleep on the couch. And so everybody's kind of hanging out, and it's only a one bedroom place. And I'm eventually like, I'm pretty wiped. Do you mind if, like, while you guys are all hanging out, I go and just lie down on the bed? And he was like, it's fine, but of course I'm going to have to wake you up if we need to switch spots. So the stripper girlfriend was over, and she was like, oh, hold on for a second. And she went to her car and came back and had an air mattress that she drives around with in the back of her car. And I slept on it.
But only knows what happened on that air mattress.
Uh-huh. I mean, maybe it's just, you know, for camping. But,
sure.
But yeah. Anyways, I slept on it. I didn't. I was fine. So, yep.
You're alive.
Yeah.
Good.
So, they, by the way, broke up soon after because she was cheating all the time, which is the,
you know, I think
real
my brother was at WrestleMania 29.
Probably, right? It was in New York.
Yeah, that Jersey, but yes.
Or Jersey, sorry. Sorry. So we're back at Degrassi, and everybody's decorating for a dance that hadn't, I don't think anyone had mentioned a dance up till this point. So for a moment I was like, what is this? But then I was like, it's a dance. Degrassi always has dances.
I was wondering, like, if there was a lead up to, like, the votes and stuff like that, because there was a lot of things about, like, Toby and Darcy voting.
I think we were robbed a little bit this episode. Like, this is the graduation episode.
This is just midwinter.
Oh, break. This is the mid break. One. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Winter, yeah.
Yeah, season six. They started season six, and they do half a year. So okay. 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 are really 2 years instead of 4.
Okay.
So
yeah,
Arlo,
makes me feel better.
Yeah, Arlo.
I was feeling a little cheated.
Think of all the things that happened in this season. It happened over the course of like 3.5 months.
Pretty much, yeah. Right.
Sean went to jail and out. Jay died.
Also, you know, strippers, JT died, not Jay. JT, although Jay probably died 400 years ago and came back as, you know,
yeah,
devil incarnate.
Yeah.
He's like Beetlejuice or something.
But yeah. Also with this, you know, you said that this didn't air in the States until like August of 2007.
Yeah.
And the season started September of 2006 in the States. So they spread 19 episodes out over a year.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Because they started ahead of Canada and then they did it in like three chunks. Whereas Canada was like, that's not how TV works.
Who would want to stick around for this? Oh my God. Yeah.
But we didn't know any different, you know what I mean, back then. So you just prayed you found it on TV.
Yeah.
So this is where Manny and Emma are chatting, and they have the conversation where Emma says that she didn't know it was possible to be this scared, which, again, it's
and
like,
they're talking what? About this ridiculous crap. Like, it's like, I thought our parents were totally in sync, but then when I asked you for a tampon, you didn't have one. Is everything okay?
Yeah,
like,
so there's a couple things.
What?
Number one, Manny eats an apple really weird in that scene. I think maybe what happened is maybe they had to redo the take, so she had to like hide the apple. That's number one. Number two, what in the dog pile happened on top of Emma? And then number three, like the whole periods go out of sync thing. Periods can go out of sync as well, especially if Manny's out of the house now. So those are my three opinions.
I know a lot about this stuff, everybody, so I choose not to share.
No, I don't think anybody would notice like that.
Mm-mm.
You know?
Yeah, I feel there's... like maybe this was kind of a, I don't know if this was a throwback to when one of the twins was pregnant in Degrassi High, and she's like, one of the twins was like, oh, I just got my period, I need a tampon, and then she looks at her sister and she's like, you still didn't get your period yet? Like that kind of thing. I understand the twins were being synced, and I understand why they did it in that storyline, and it almost felt like a throwback to that in a way, with Manny and Emma were living together, so of course their periods are synced. And I don't think Manny would have really I don't know, it's just,
I don't think she would have brought that up. I don't think,
yeah, no, I don't think so either.
Also, there's like, you wouldn't put two and two together like that. There's any number of reasons why someone might not have a fucking tampon on them at any given moment.
Right. That's true too. Cause you didn't have a tampon. Okay. So
she must be pregnant.
Right. Yeah. Oh my God. Are you having a baby? That's another thing about this show. The jumping to conclusions thing. I think I joked about this with Degrassi High when Michelle asks Snake to the dance and he says, oh, you know, I'm already going with someone. And she just automatically assumes he has a girlfriend. I'm like, have you seen him with anyone? He doesn't have a girlfriend, you dumb dumb. Like, I know it's a high school thing to like jump to insane conclusions, but
worst case scenario. Yeah.
Yeah. Like for Manny to be like, oh, you didn't give me a tampon, you must be pregnant. That's so silly.
But it's cuckoo bananas.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, she didn't even say that.
She didn't even say it. Yeah. Like what the hell, Degrassi?
No, she said it in another episode. Yeah.
So Alex is back at Zanzibar, and Alan offers to buy her a drink. And here, Alex says, you don't have to pay me. You can watch me strip for free. And again, I'm like, how are you making money? And again, we don't... like, if that's all she's doing is stripping for free, then where's the money coming from? Like, it's not your stripper salary. That's not how it works.
Right, no, definitely not.
It's your witty conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
Who are you in five words or less?
So they, oh yes, that's right. And he says, what does he say? He's like,
entrepreneur,
divorced twice, old and lonely.
Old and lonely.
Those seven words.
And like, it goes without saying, his name is Alan, so he's super well hung too. So just saying.
I mean, that part was obvious, so yeah. He didn't have to say it out loud.
Yeah. Alex says that she's a lesbian, and Alex says, I just want to talk. And Alex says, well, my partner wants me to quit. And she's having a hard time finding reasons not to quit. And so Alan says, well, it's, you know, your partner's loss. And he gives Paige $20 for her time. So
Alex.
Or Alex, sorry. So maybe Alex makes $20 at a time just talking to people, which, again, not how it works, everybody. So
I mean, if it was, shit, I'd be able to make
it. I'd be doing it.
I'd fucking do it.
Yeah.
So here we go at the mansion. Marco goes to Ellie's room. And is like, we got to go to class, Ellie, and opens up the bedroom door. And he finds her and Jesse in bed together, like moving around fully clothed. I'm like, well, I guess we can't have them naked in, you know, for this kind of television. But like,
it's more like they passed out and then woke up.
Yeah, but like with fucking full clothes on. Like, first of all, it's gross. Obviously, they've hooked up and maybe getting back together, which is gross. But again, and I get it's a kid's show, I guess, so you can't have it be realistic. But in that circumstance, if they've hooked up, they're not going to be like fully pajamaed, like, you know, trying to hide in bed. So
maybe they just cuddled all night.
Yeah.
Oh, please.
Yeah, it's great.
A sexy spoon.
Because they have such a good relationship.
Jesse's a fuck boy, not a cuddle boy. So
yeah, they were up all night talking about how much they missed each other. That's what they were doing.
That was.
They were dancing under the sheets.
Ugh.
I'm so glad we went through the entire storyline of them fucking breaking up and Jesse dating Paige for an episode, and then now we're back here.
Here, yep.
Great.
Again, it's because they. Like Alan said, they crammed all this shit into like 3 months of a storyline. If season six were one full year and they spread it out, it could have been totally different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I swear any of these people like getting back together in this fucking episode, if we start season seven and there's just like, oh, we broke up over the summer or something like, or we broke up over winter break or whatever it's going to be this time. Like, I'm going to flip my lid.
Well, spoiler alert. So yeah. Alex doesn't fully leave to go back to her home planet, but she's like seriously demoted right at the start of the next season.
Her last
Yeah.
One as a season, as a series regular.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And it's also Sean's last one as a series regular.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. There's a serious fade out for her, even though she has like this big storyline. So
I'm team Alex. I've always been team Alex. I've even said that, I think, a year ago. I'm team Alex. And I'm so sad that she gets kind of demoted.
So where are we here? Oh, yes. They're at the dock. Paige and Alex at the dot. Alex apologizes for making Paige find out the way she did. I mean, she did lie, so I guess there's that. But, you know, still. Paige doesn't apologize. Paige doesn't apologize for barging in her workplace, getting mad at her at work, throwing flowers at her, causing a scene. None of that. All Alex.
Judging her.
Yeah. Yeah. Just the dirty stripper is wrong, everybody. So Paige offers to forgive Alex. Isn't that nice? And says,
isn't that so big of her?
Yeah.
So big of her to forgive her.
Sanctimonious, you yeah. know, my morals and your morals are not good. And
yeah, she says,
To be fair, Alex did lie.
Yes, she True. Did lie. That's the one thing she did. She lied.
Yes, she lied.
So Paige says, well, you can have a job as an intern at my mom's company. And Alex is like, well, I have a job. And Paige says right away, she's like, oh, exploiting yourself.
Oh, being a dirty whore.
Yep. So she's like, why don't you accept help when it's offered to you? So great. Alex says her mom and her are close to being evicted and asks if Paige gets it. And Paige says, I don't know why you would ever take your clothes off for money. It's disgusting and I want to puke. And so does everybody. So great. Alex says maybe it's for female empowerment, which is where Paige says the bovine fecal matter line.
Yes.
Yeah.
Alex says she's only going to do it for a few more weeks. And Paige is like, every time you do this, it kills me. When does it stop?
I don't want her dead, but I'd love the storyline with Paige to die. Uh-huh. I mean, like, it's just bad.
You're tearing me apart, Alex.
So Alex says maybe, you know, when she can pay for her tuition and pay off her mom's credit card, et cetera, et cetera. And she says if Paige can't deal with it, then they have no future. And Paige says, yeah, and she leaves. And I guess they break up again. You know, I'm sure they won't get back together in 5 minutes at the end of the episode.
Super.
And yeah. Then she says, have fun at the dance. It's like, why is Paige going to a high school dance?
That yes. was my question. Can I ask that question now? Because... Was she helping, like, design that dance as, like, a job, one of her side jobs that she does? Or is she just, showed up at the dance, and I wasn't sure if I missed something in all of this.
No, not only does she show up at the dance, but in the conversation with the spinner that they have at the door.
Yeah.
He specifically is like, you don't go anywhere by yourself, but you're here by yourself. So Paige went mm-hmm. to a high school dance uninvited by herself.
Yeah, at first I was like, oh, she went with Spinner because they're friends or whatever, and Spinner's still in high school, right? And I was like, oh, okay. But then their conversation, I was like, okay.
Yeah. And that was my thing, is I was like, is this like an internship thing that our mom does? Because I don't even know what our mom does as an internship. But then I was thinking, I know in high school, you couldn't even go to a dance like as a guest, like if you weren't at the school anymore, you had to get a permission slip signed by your parents and by like the school principal to like be able to even go to the dance as a guest. So at least by American 1990s standards, that would have been at least how it went.
Yeah, it's fucking weird. So Emma is doing a pregnancy test at home with Spike and Manny. And Emma is about to go and take the test again, but immediately before she takes the test, finds out that she got her period, and her and Manny celebrate.
This scene makes me
go for it. Spike is clearly relieved, and now go.
Well, the thing is, I get it. Spike went through this as a kid, so she's trying to play the cool mom and try to be understanding, but she's still way too calm about the whole thing. And then the whole thing about, like, she gets her period, and then, like, the go, Emma, you got your period, you're not pregnant, we're going dancing? Like, who sings this in front of her friend's mom after she just thought that she had a pregnancy scare? Sorry.
Well.
Yeah. Why didn't we take the test in the first episode if we're just going to take another at-home test?
And because mom
why didn't
there,
she say, Mom, I already took one, and it was negative, you know? And then... When before she goes and takes the second test, like Spike says, if it's positive, then we'll take you to a doctor. Well, what if it's negative? Does that mean that you're going to believe it this time? Like, I don't.
That, yeah.
And
like, why aren't you taking this child to a fucking doctor to find out for this, sure?
It's not
really written badly.
Yeah, it's not like the scene would have had to have been dramatically different. It could have literally been like, okay, Manny and Spike and Emma, we're about to go to, you know, oh yeah, Emma's just taking a piss before we go to the doctors. And then Emma comes down and she's like, oh, I had my period.
Yeah.
Same thing could have been accomplished.
If you're so distrustful of these fucking pregnancy tests that are 99% accurate, as she says, like, why is seeing a little bit of blood now convincing to you?
That could be all kinds
of things.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely. Like, you don't get your period if you're pregnant, but also, like, our bodies are weird.
Yes, because you can bleed during your period. Like, there are people who don't even know they're pregnant. They think they had periods for months. Meanwhile, they had, like, what the hell do they call it?
Ectopic pregnancy.
Oh, no, not even that. No, like, there's a name for it, the pregnancy that you don't know you have until you're literally delivering. Sometimes you don't even see it. Like, you don't even gain enough weight to know that you have a baby inside
you
until
you see on TV. Yeah.
Yeah. There's an actual name for it, and I can't think of it. But, you know, there are people who think they have their periods for 9 months, and then all of a sudden there's a baby there. So you don't know from blood that it's.
There's always, like, the what if or whatever. But if this 99% accurate test that you already took said that it was negative, yeah, of course there's false negatives. It does happen. But, like, why was it that you trust more now? Like, it just, none of it made any sense to me. Like,
it's because a dude wrote the episode.
It's also because.
Just go to a doctor.
I believe it's two dudes wrote the episode and didn't talk to each other, which is even worse.
Yeah.
Two dudes equal one woman.
Yeah. That's right. Oh, that's right. Yeah, because a dude wrote the first one. So blame Brendan York and whoever wrote the first
one. Brendan York
remember.
Is like, did they take a pregnancy test in the last episode? Should I look that up? Nah. Oh,
nah, let's do another one.
Wouldn't it be really funny if you wrote part two of an episode without watching part one or reading the script of part one?
Sometimes it feels like they do that when you watch parts one and two.
Now, my thing is, like, I still feel like if this had all gone down, you see Emma kind of, like, exhale a little bit quietly at the end of that scene. I don't know. If I was that mom, I'd be like, Emma, you're not going to the dance tonight. We need to have a talk, you know, or something. Yeah. Like,
I think the thing is, Emma should have explained to her mother, you knew I was having sex. I got the birth control pills. We used condoms on top of that. Something must have gone wrong. Like, it wasn't like she was recklessly having sex. And Spike knew that.
Yeah.
Like, she knew they were on birth control.
Yeah.
And anything can happen. So I feel like, you know, Sean and Emma kind of did everything the way you're supposed to do it. Yeah. And I don't feel like Spike should have been like, oh my God, you know, from it.
I don't know. I think she still would have been.
No. I feel like, I don't know.
I think she would have probably had some of those, like, teen year flashbacks of, like, the worries. But also, because she went through that, she's probably trying to play the cool mom that's trying to be understanding. So it plays both ways.
Right. But, I mean, if she really had a problem with Emma having sex, she should have sat her down and been like, look, this is what we need to do because I don't feel comfortable with this at all. Like, I know I told you to go on birth control when you felt ready, but, and then they didn't even do that. So
she's like, it's time you learn three important words, pull out method. Try that.
With a condom and birth control.
Yeah.
Do as much as you possibly can to avoid having any kind of fluid in your body.
So now we're at the club again at Zanzibar, not the high school club or the fucking university club, the strip club, Zanzibar.
Or just the business, you know, waterfall.
Yes. Alex admits to Alan that she got in a fight with Paige. And so Alan is like, well, come to Vegas with me. And she's like, well, I'm a lesbian. And he says, you don't need to fall in love with me. Just name your price. And she slaps him and calls him a pig. Alex breaks up this conversation and Alex immediately quits and walks out on the job. So this is the, I guess.
Well, you know, you guys, it's a slippery slope when you're stripping.
Yes. Yeah.
You become a call girl after that.
Easily descend into dirtier horror.
Hookerville.
And I mean, look, in real life, maybe I'm sure that you know, there's some conflict that happens when these kinds of issues occur, right? But I'm looking at the situation and I'm like, okay, you're in a strip club, you know, he's not he's not physically like intimidating you. He's just saying, oh no, like if you really want to come do this. She could have just said, I'm not doing that. Like, I'm not, that's a line I'm not going to cross, right?
She didn't need to smack him, yeah.
Yeah. So hitting him and then quitting. And again, look, if that's your reaction as a person, then that's your reaction. If it's insulting, then it's insulting. But to me, again, it's the writers telling us, like, Alex will only whore so much. And she's finally hit that line. And like,
she still has a good heart on the inside, everybody.
Yes.
Don't worry.
So, question, didn't Alex come from a dirty pile of rags, as you guys said many
she did.
So I believe an oily pile of rags.
Only became so dirty now.
Yes.
Like, she became a dirty stripper, not a dirty call girl.
Mm. Yeah, this is the part where Darth Vader turns his back on the dark side and saves his son. And yeah, so... now we're back at the dance. I wrote, at the start of this dance, things look super boring. Like,
yeah,
I'm like, what a Toby shitty...
Toby looks like a goober. Like, he's just like, I'm putting my vote in for King.
And we've talked about the, what's his name? Or Paige being there and how that's weird. But not as weird as Sean being there.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, he's...
But there... Maybe she got a permission slip to let Sean be there. I don't know.
The permission slip for expelled students that, like, question.
They don't want us to remember that whole thing about the, you know, you're not supposed to be here.
Yeah. Question number one, have you been expelled from this school? Yes, no. Question number two, after expulsion, did you start a fight with a rival school and participate in the school? Yes, no. Like, Sean should not be there. So, but he's there. No one cares. He asks Emma why she hasn't returned his calls, and she says she got her period and it's a false alarm. And Sean's like, fucking
that's
A.
Awesome.
Yeah,
like, he just says, that's awesome.
Thank you for calling me and telling me, Emma.
Yeah.
Like, what?
You
what?
Fucking bitch.
Yeah, like, what the fuck is she doing? Like, he's trying to get in touch with her to find out what's going on. And she did this in part one, too. She's so... That's why this is so written so weirdly, because as Alan said, it feels like she was manipulating him in the first part, and then you realize, oh, well, she didn't get her period, so of course she's going to think she's pregnant. But then it goes back to her manipulating him again, and it's like, what?
But that's all Emma ever does. I mean, from the get-go of the show, she's a manipulator, so it's not a surprise.
And I said this on another episode, it is so annoying that this generation happened because Spike had Emma, and these assholes who wrote this show decided to make Emma one of the most annoying, unlikable characters in this entire series that's been in existence since 1979. And I don't understand why they did that.
I mean, honestly, like, first watch back in the day, like, when I read the message boards about these episodes, people are like, I love Emma, but she was really a bitch in this episode or whatever. So there isn't the universal hatred of her that I have felt.
It's come from rewatches.
It comes with age, too.
It comes with age. Yeah. It comes with people rewatching it. Lauren Collins posted a tweet probably like 2 years ago where it said, you know, the villain and then the actual villain, and it had Paige and then it had Emma. Which I thought was really funny.
So true.
I was like, wow, that's kind of awesome.
And not just the Emma storyline. Like, I'm reading right now on the Degrassi fandom page. So here's a comment. Miss Barandi said, Paige was dumb. Your girlfriend's about to get evicted from her home and you're worried about her being a stripper? And I'm like, yes. But then immediately, same day,
dissenters.
Love ya writes, she wasn't dumb. She was concerned about her girlfriend and what and what Alex was doing to earn money. You have to try to see it from Paige's point of view as well.
Nope.
No. I mean...
But I bet if like 20 or like 19-year-old me was watching that, I might have have a different perspective. I think, you know, 40, almost 45-year-old me is like, girl got to pay bills.
Yeah.
She's got to make things happen.
Well, and it's also what the show is telling you, right? It's telling you that stripping is bad and it's going to ruin your life.
Right.
And it will make you dirty and it will give you emotional problems and it will ruin your relationships.
And also, you know, like,
that's
when things
what the
get
show
bad,
is really shoving it down our throats. So, of course, yeah, people think that when they're young and impressionable and
that's
watching
it. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is like the last resort. You know, she couldn't think there's of anything else to do, so she had to strip. It's like, oh my God.
There's no perspective on life.
No.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and it's, you know, the message is that it's shameful. You should mm-hmm. be ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
You should feel shame about this.
Well, and my thing is, for, like, the OG Degrassi, I felt like OG Degrassi was very sex positive, very women empowered. And I feel like the next generation doesn't always hit that mark.
I mean, we actually no. saw, the only time we saw a stripper in OG Degrassi was in the one that was fucking with Joey outside of the,
yeah,
the strip hey. Club, right? And yeah, and like, there was nothing, like, Joey ran away, but there was, even in that scene, there was nothing like, oh, she's so dirty, what a whore, right? She's,
right.
like,
it's the, exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels like Degrassi Junior High and High were way more, almost way more progressive than Degrassi The Next they Generation, which seems really odd.
Well, and I think that, you know, the actress who plays Alex, Deanna, what's her last name? Starts with a C.
Yeah.
I think she does a really great job in this two-parter.
I like
that. You know, I think she does a really good job. I think that she really was able to portray sort of that struggle and that shame of whether she can do this or not and, mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. And, you know, the reality is there is a stigma around stripping.
Yeah.
So I think that that is realistic. But I wanted there to be a better payoff at the end for yeah. her.
Well,
you know, I wanted her to, you know, make peace with her decisions instead of just being like, oh, that was a shameful chapter of my life.
Right.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, I agree. That's what I was going to say when we get there.
Yeah. So Sean and Emma then break up. Like, after fucking taking us through everything this season again. They're like, well, you're going to the army. I'm off to university. Let's break up. Let's dance. I'm like,
but
fuck.
They kind of don't, because they don't actually officially break up until later.
Great.
It's a weird thing. It's like they forgot in season 7 what they did in season 6. So yes, it seems like they broke up, but kind of not.
Great.
Well, it's like that couple in high school that's like, we know we're going to go our different ways when the school year ends. Let's just stay together till then.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Alex is at home packing her shit up, and her mom comes in and says, what, we don't have to move. But Alex says, well, I quit my job, and my her mom is like, my money, where's my fucking money? So, and then
so mad.
And then even better, Chad the hero walks in the door, and then immediately, and he's immediately like, guess who made bail? Alex is like, what the fuck happened? And her mom bailed Chad out with the money, the dirty stripper money. So
her mother is absolutely useless. She's useless.
She's... Well, and the thing is, she even says, do you know what I had to do to get it? You can tell by the look on her mom's face kind of that maybe she kind of got that it probably wasn't the bistro.
Yeah.
But yeah.
She's still like, whatever, he's out.
Honestly, though, again, like the fact that she got it stripping, like, oh, that's horrible. Do you know what I had to do to get this? Like, yeah. You know what you didn't have to do to get that? Like, sell cocaine on the fucking corner. You didn't have to, like, blow a bunch of guys in the alley. Like, true. You didn't, like, you know, like, the idea that this was just the worst possible thing that she could have done to get this money.
Yeah.
Like, God.
Yeah. Yep. Well, Chad's back, everybody. And her mom says, we'll all get out of this together. And Alex is like, you're pathetic. And she leaves. So Alex leaves her home.
Good for her. I wanted to, glad you know, did. If I wasn't.
Get it, Alex.
Yeah, I would have applauded for that moment there. Because good for
I
her.
Did. I was
getting the hell out of there.
Team Alex.
Her mother's the worst.
So back at the dance, we're briefly reminded that Drake and Ashley still exist and are a couple. And Toby and Darcy appear to have won some sort of fucking king and queen.
King and queen.
Toby.
Well, I think it's, I mean, Toby later references like JT, so it may be sympathy votes. I don't know why don't know why Liberty didn't get any, but you know, Toby did.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe Darcy, they're just like, look, Liberty's boyfriend died, but Darcy's dating Peter. We need to throw her some fucking votes. So then this is where we get the exchange between Paige and Spinner. And That's great. And then we see Derek and Danny striking out with the ladies. And then it's supposed to be funny, but I just can't stop thinking about what Derek's going to do in future seasons. And he can fucking die for all I
care.
Fuck
him.
Yeah.
Fuck him. Yeah.
No spoilers. I actually don't know. Like, anything past this season, I have not watched. I am unfamiliar with the new characters who are coming in next season.
Oh, God.
I'm looking forward to some surprises. So
lucky you.
You'll get plenty of
Yeah.
Yeah.
But my thing is, like, I would never ever see, like, two dudes being like, what? Two chicks just said no? Let's just boogie down together. They probably wouldn't say boogie down either, because I'm a fogey.
I wrote in my notes, Derek and Danny are alone, as they should be.
Yeah.
So nerdy.
So Alex shows up at the dance, and she... look... Why is Alex going to this dance too? Like, she goes to the school, right? But it's like Alex doesn't go to fucking school dances.
No.
So she shows
up. Why is Spinner even going? Like, why is he going by himself? Like, he should be out with someone, like hanging out with Jay or something. Or maybe, like, why would you be at this dance?
Is your store not open? Remember that?
Like, yeah, like the, you know, the oh, please.
Yeah, like her. Him
they just needed to get. They needed to get everyone in the finale. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
So Alex asks if, or Alex asks Paige if she likes her dress. And again, Paige is like, shouldn't it be on the floor at your job, whore? Like what? Like, enough.
If Alex had a drink, thank God she didn't, she should have thrown it in Paige's face at that moment.
I'm like, what? Like, are we supposed to be rooting for these two to fucking get together? Like, get. Paige is horrible. Get out of here.
Yeah. Well, and Alex doesn't even get upset. She just takes the dig and, like, I don't know. Alex deserves better.
Yes, Alex deserves better. You deserve better, Alex.
Even worse, she, Alex, and the writers and Degrassi, the franchise, say to us, the viewers, I screwed up a lot.
She needs forgiveness.
But if I let you go, that would be the biggest screw up. So I quit stripping. Like, everything about that sentence is terrible.
Yep.
So Paige is like, well, this is good news. And then Alex says, well, Chad also came back and I left home and I have nothing. And Paige is like, you have me, which to which I wrote, also nothing.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. And then they decide to start dancing, and the show ends, and the season ends, and Alex will no longer be a regular season character after all this shit. So,
also, I mean, did you notice in the dancing, Sean and Emma are dancing happily, and he's twirling her around, and everyone's jumping up in the air, and I'm just like, didn't, what? Huh? How? What? Why is this ending like this? It's so weird. Yeah.
I counted three sweeties or sweethearts and one hun, just in case you guys wanted to know.
Great.
Thank you.
You know.
Oh, I didn't even hear any huns. Wow.
Oh, there was a hun right at, this is Paige says, hun, this is happy news. It was like one of the last things she says on the show.
Oh, I didn't even, wow, I missed the hun. And I'd notice all of them. It's like nails on a chalkboard.
It is. It's nails. I was going to say the exact same thing.
Well, there you have it, everybody. Another season of Degrassi.
Season 6 is mercifully over. Holy shit.
Yeah, and it gets better, right?
Is this the 100% end of Emma and Sean other than...
No.
No.
I couldn't remember.
No, it is not.
It's not.
No, there's a little bit more.
Comes back.
Yes, let's keep beating that horse a little longer.
Oh, we will. I mean, they're bound to get married, right, everyone?
I already read some.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Well, there you go, everybody. A couple of things outside this episode to mention. Number one, Otani is not going to be signing anywhere today, apparently. Now that's the news. So no more need to click on that. I did want to share a couple of quick emails. Everybody, there's a few people who are really getting into the ChatGPT game with. So ChatGPT, which, as hopefully you know, regularly gets things wrong. Don't take what it says to you, like, as fact, everybody, because here's some examples of it. Rob Elkin wrote and said, I asked ChatGPT about the School's Out movie, and here's what I got. So the question, this is what ChatGPT said. He wanted to know who saved who from drowning at the end of the episode. In the episode School's Out, it's not Joey Jeremiah who is saved from drowning, but rather his friend and fellow classmate, Caitlin Ryan. This is a dramatic and emotional scene towards the end of the episode in which Caitlin falls into a lake during a confrontation and Joey jumps in to rescue her from drowning.
Oh, that would have made it a lot more interesting than who was actually saved, because they should have just kept her in the lake.
I then asked if Yik helps to save Caitlin. My previous response contained incorrect information. I apologize. Yik Yu does not play a role in saving Caitlin from drowning in the episode of School's Out. And I'm like, well, that is true, because none of this happened. But then it clarifies, the rescue is solely performed by Joey Jeremiah. So, yeah. There is also, if you bear with me for a sec, here we go. Julia Dawson sent us one. What happened between Wheels and Heather and Degrassi? Everybody, the truth is they made out on the porch at a party. But ChatGPT says, Wheels and Heather are siblings in Degrassi Junior High and Degrassi High.
Incest.
Yeah. In the series, they face significant challenges after the death of their parents in a car accident. As a result, Wheels goes through a difficult time. One notable storyline involves Wheels reconnecting with his biological father, which causes tensions between him and Heather. And I was like, is Heather his grandmother? And did she say, Derek, you selfish, selfish little brother? So, Derek. Well, one more. This is by, I don't know their real name. I hate Fraser Crane is the handle. They say, what type of chips did Lucy want to get in School's Out?
Oh, no.
ChatGPT says, in the Degrassi franchise, there isn't a specific character named Lucy who plays a significant role in School's Out.
Excuse you?
However, if you're referring to Lucy Fernandez, a character from earlier seasons, there isn't a specific scene or reference to her wanting a particular type of chips in School's Out. I mean, technically, oh no, Lucy did want the chips. I was going to say Wheels wanted them, so... Anyways, so then they asked, well, what flavor of chips did Lucy want in Degrassi School's Out? Lucy Fernandez wanted sour cream and onion chips. The specific scene involves Lucy asking for chips at a pharmacy where Snake works. She asks for sour cream and onion chips. When she realizes they only have plain, she decides to take them instead. So...
That could have been interesting.
Yeah. So keep at it, everybody. Narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com if you want to tell us what ChatGPT makes up about Degrassi. Yeah. Particularly the old school one. That's funnier to me, I think.
I like it. I have a question.
Do it.
As far as your Hall of Fame nominations, is it going to be more like you're just listing real characters, or can they be fun fictitious characters like Wheels' ponytail, or is it going to be more like superlatives?
Wheels' tight jeans.
anything related to old school Degrassi, everything up till School's Out, but not Kids of Degrassi Street counts. So whether it's real characters, actors, people who worked on the show, fictitious things from the show, fictitious things from the podcast. You're welcome to write us with anything you want. A number of people have. So, that's coming up in probably the new year. Before we start season 7, we're going to do our inaugural inductions into the Narbos and Broomheads Hall of Fame. So, basically, people send them to me. I think in the end, I'm just going to decide.
I end up thinking more of like best hair would be like Liz, Spike, or Faith. Which one are you going to choose? Or like thirstiest would be like Doris, Radich, or Dorothy, you know?
Uh-huh.
Even Arthur. So like for me, I can categorize it that way. So I'm just trying to mentally like decide on like what I'm sending in.
Well, please put in a lot of effort and think very hard about it, because this is a very important decision. Like, don't take this responsibility lightly, everybody.
It's so important.
Also, for upcoming episodes, so next week, which is going to be our last new episode before Christmas, we are going to celebrate by reviewing, what is it called? Pee-wee's Christmas Funhouse, Arlo? I don't know.
Pee-wee's Playhouse Christmas Special!
Woo! So,
oh, it's the best.
Yeah. So that's coming...
It's so good. If you haven't seen it, listeners, I highly recommend that you take a peek at it. It's amazing.
So right before Christmas, we'll do that Christmas special. Then we'll take a week off. Then we're going to do, I think, a little Asobo episode, and then it will be Hall of Fame. So we will keep you posted on that come January. But anyways, I think we're out of time. I'm Alan. Thanks for sitting through the season with us. Once again, find me on social media, Slip with Five Eyes or Slip. Find the podcast at Narbos and Broomheads Podcast on Instagram, at Narbos Podcast on Twitter. Narbos and Broomheads is a Facebook group that you can search, and narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com if you want to write in and give us your nominees for the Hall of Fame or talk about how strippers are dirty. And let's go to Arlo.
You can follow me on Instagram at ARLOESCOTT. And yeah, write us and let us know what your most hated season 6 moment was.
Please.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Stacey?
We made it. We made it through season 6. Yeah. I want to know what everyone's worst moments were from season 6 because I'd like to see if they align with mine. But yeah, I'm so glad we're through this and just in time for Christmas. And next, it's Heather.
Yeah, Heather, thanks for joining us again. And
thanks for having me back.
Yeah, and for always being
fun.
Yeah, and for always being very supportive of the podcast. An active participant in the Narbos and Broomheads, fandom or whatever we want to call it. Very much appreciate it. And yeah, we'll have to have you back next Christmas. Next Christmas, we'll have you back on. Yeah.
Hopefully not that long of a wait, but I would love to come back again. Yeah.
And where do we find you if you'd like people to find you on the social media?
I mean, I'm not that exciting as far as my Instagram, but it's Little Hezaruru on Instagram.
So there you go, everybody. And until next week when we talk about Pee-wee, we'll see you when we see you. Bye.
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 Baby.
Well, I just said I was going to get my love. I would never do my homework. I would stay up late and dream about Kylan. I would never get girls out of my house.
Maybe I would.
I would walk around the cafe cut just to get caught my dreams. Everyone thinks that